from Delta Airlines, whose smartphone app lets travelers book on the go. Delta.com. Delta, keep climbing.
You're listening to Morning Edition on WCVE Public Radio. Columnist Jeff Shapiro joins us now live from the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his Friday morning analysis of Virginia political news. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi there, Wayne. Time for a little havoc in politics.
As always. Well, the deadline is approaching for Governor McDonnell to sign or not sign or offer amendments to legislation passed during this year's General Assembly session. What's still on the plate that has yet to be dealt with?
Well, there are some goodies and some hot ones at that. Of course, we haven't heard from the governor on this voter ID bill, a stronger voter ID bill. It would require that Virginians, before voting, produce a specific type of photo ID. This wouldn't take place, or excuse me, this wouldn't kick in until 2014. But, of course, last year, the governor signed a voter ID law, and he tried to soften it somewhat. He was unsuccessful, but then he used his executive powers directing the Board of Elections to issue fresh IDs to all voters. This is one that is being watched very closely. It certainly has a certain racial and ethnic implications. As far as Democrats and, for that matter, Republicans are concerned, this would have to go to the Justice Department, which would have to determine, again, if the governor were to sign it, whether it is an obstacle to exercising the franchise. The governor also has to decide whether he will sign this legislation, also pushed by social conservatives, that would allow college clubs, university organizations, to in effect discriminate against prospective members. That is a bill that's raised a number of questions. The American Civil Liberties Union, the Virginia chapter, that is, has been urging the governor to veto it. Another bill that we're waiting to see is this transportation package. This is, of course, the governor's legacy. It is tax-fattened. He has got to decide what to do with it in terms of tweaks and revisions. One of the things that he's hearing a great deal about is this so-called hybrid tax. Democrats claim it's essentially a tax on them because they embrace all of these alternative vehicles. The governor signed this bill by Mark Obenshain, a Republican candidate for attorney general, that would allow the state to keep secret the names of all concealed weapons permit holders. And, of course, the General Assembly will be back on April 3rd to consider the governor's revisions and vetoes. And after that, he will begin the long descent, or perhaps accelerates descent into lame duckdom as the public's attention focuses on the campaign to choose McDonald's successor.
Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, presumed to be the Republican nominee for governor this year, has made some more comments that have attracted some controversy.
Yes, this is all about continuing efforts by Democrats in this case to essentially reduce Cuccinelli to a caricature, to essentially depict him as some right of reason weirdo. Republicans are trying to do the same thing with Terry McAuliffe, depicting him as a fast-talking, ethically challenged, inexperienced in terms of Virginia government politician. The Attorney General has likened the struggle to ban abortion to eliminating slavery, of course, being the sesquicentennial of the Civil War. The Democrats have just been piling on this one, and it has given Bill Bowling, who is threatening an independent candidacy, an opportunity to repeat that he is not endorsing Cuccinelli. In a discussion with reporters, among them Jim Nolan of the TD, Bowling kind of frames the challenges ahead for Cuccinelli and McAuliffe. For Cuccinelli, that he is seen as extreme. For McAuliffe, that he is seen as inexperienced. But Bowling says that as far as he's concerned, they are both qualified to be governor.
Let's glance at the lieutenant governor's race. There are a lot of people running, especially on the Republican side. Presumably, one wants to be lieutenant governor in order to get his or her name known for a governor's race 4 years later. Tell us about how that race is shaping up. You know, there are just so many candidates, it's hard to keep up with them.
7 candidates for the Republican nomination, 2 for the Democratic nomination. Republicans will choose their nominee at a convention in May. Democrats, theirs in a primary in June. The lieutenant governor's office is important, particularly this year, because it will essentially decide the direction of power in the Senate. It is evenly divided, 20 Democrats, 20 Republicans. With Bowling in the lieutenant governor's chair, the Republicans, in effect, have working control, if you will, an artificial majority in the Virginia Senate. If it were to switch to the to a Democratic lieutenant governor, the Democrats would, in effect, have working control. But while this is something that would largely affect the overall arithmetic of the Senate, it would not change what's perhaps more important, and that is Republican control of committee chairmanships and committee assignments. That's locked in place by a plan that can only be revised with a very substantial vote that neither side can muster. But we have learned by watching Bill Bowling this year of the power of a single tie-breaking vote. For example, that voter ID bill, that controversial voter ID bill, went to the governor on the Bowling tie-breaking vote.
Okay, time's gone for today, Jeff, so thanks a lot. We will talk to you each Friday morning here on WCVE's Morning Edition. Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. When the Supreme Court takes up same-sex